And then you have, like, the sport of tennis. You ever look at tennis? You know, yeah, the better players get into good volleys, but then you always have in the beginning stages of French Open or the U.S. Open in tennis where, you know, you have some poor mismatch in the early stages, some guy that's, you know, hitting his serve, and I don't even know what their maximum serve is, Rory, but let's say a great serve is, you know, 190 miles an hour, and they're hitting it, you know, at 185, 190, and these the guy on the other side, ace, you know, they're not being able to return it. So you've got a little bit of this problem with equipment in every industry, but I think, well, I know there's a lot of people, a lot of friends of mine that are not golf course architects, that are just normal everyday golfers at a private club or frequent public golf courses, and they're like, you know, we kind of get tired of watching the extreme distance and then wedge, and then, you know, the stations glorify it, as you know. Oh, you know, they have, you know, the shot tracker, and the, you know, I like to see the trajectory and the spin angle and all that, but then they show you how far everybody's hitting it. And, you know, there is a case that they make, well, Ray, that sells, and people like to see, you know, when DeChambeau was hitting it that far, or Dustin Johnson at his peak, and then you got Rory when he hits those monster drives. But it's controversial. Was it needed? In my opinion, yes, because it was just, it was not, it was always, it's just kept going, you know, in a direction that at some point you can't just keep kicking the can down the road. Now, did it solve all the problems that are before it? Absolutely not. And it created a, you know, a little bit of a civil war in the golf industry. You got kind of a civil war between, you know, the backers of the PGA Tour and the LIV Tour, you know, at this screen. And then you got John Rahm going on. Now you got people that Hatfields and the McCoys taking sides in the golf ball debate. And it's funny, I immediately, when that came out, I called four of my buddies that I really trust at private clubs that are big time golf professionals. And you know what? All four of them, they had different opinions, but, and they varied, but two were on the side that it was ridiculous, stupid. Why in the hell they do this? And the other two, yeah, this needed to be done. We don't agree with how it's being done or the actual distance. I always said this, Rory, that, you know what? For a tournament like the Masters or the British Open, where you wanted to go, let's say they ever wanted to put it at Sunningdale Old, but Sunningdale Old from the tips outside of London is one of my favorite courses. It's only 6,650 yards from the tips. And then, you know, you got the old course at St. Andrews is like, you know, this great, great, beautiful woman that is now has had so many facelifts and skin tucks and that. And same with Augusta National. You have pulled those two courses to the maximum limit without getting silly in terms of safety-wise. So, yeah, I don't think they gained a lot. Did it make a lot of people angry? Yes. Do most golf course architects like that decision? Yes. Did something need to be done? Yes. But it's now they opened up the Pandora's box. And, you know, now you've got the 400-pound gorilla that's out of the box now. And this is going to be—it's going to be bifurcating for the golf industry, and there's already a lot of tension with you know, what's going on with LA Live Tour and the PGA. So just add this to the list now.
Well, I'll tell you what, Ray, it's going to be going to be real interesting to see how it all shakes out. And finally, before I let you go today, bring me up to speed on Ray Hearn Golf Design and what you're going to be doing in 24.
Oh, thanks, Ray. Well, 2024 will be just as special as 2023, 2022, and 2021. Obviously, this spring, we open up probably one of the most ambitious projects, new course design that we just blew up at 27 at the Inn at St. John's, the new Cardinal course for the Pulte family, with, you know, roots to Pulte Homes, and Mark Pulte runs the Pulte Family Charitable Trust. And when you go to Michigan, the number one hotel in the state of Michigan is the Grand Hotel on Mackinac Island. It's just majestic. The number two most luxurious hotel in Michigan is the Inn at St. John's. And Rory, brides book that, although to have a wedding there, the grounds and the golf course now and all the internal gold, silver, marble inside, the opulent paintings, they booked that 3 years in advance with a non-refundable deposit. And unfortunately, when you're out 3 years, some of those engagements break up. So Arthur Hills did Shepherd's Hollow north of Detroit 25 years ago. This is the first new golf course in Southeast Michigan that obviously has our largest city, Detroit. And it's been incredible. I'll say you just gotta, I'll make sure that Kevin Frisch gives you the invite for this May. We had, just for the local media in Southeast Michigan, we had a little soft media day in end of September, and the reviews, the rave reviews. We have one of the most upcoming stars in the golf course superintendent's industry, and Kevin Peck from the Country Club of Detroit, that just hit a home run with the grow in. We've got, we're going to do Donald Ross, number 10, the restoration, and that is patterned after, obviously it's part of the Donald Ross Memorial, but it's patterned after hole number 11, I believe, at Royal Dornick, which is not a Ross course, but where Ross got his inspiration for his design career in his time he spent at Royal Dornick before he came to the United States. Then we out-competed some of the bigs in the East Coast to get what I think is one of the Donald Ross gems in the Northeast, the Crestmont Country Club, a very, very private club in West Orange, New Jersey, mostly wealthy New York City members. And as you know, in restoration, sometimes you get lucky and sometimes you don't. I spent a lot of times down at the Tufts Archives in Carolina, and went through the drawers and all that, in addition to the ton of stuff they have online. Rory, I've got all of the Donald Ross routing notes for every hole. I have his master plan with notes. I have his construction drawings with notes for 12 of the 18 greens. I've got a Golf Illustrated article from 1929. We found photos from the late 20s. I just hit an explorer's treasure chest in golf architecture. So obviously we're doing a lot of restoration, and we're making it fit into the modern game. And we'll break ground on that 224. That has been incredibly fun to work on. And then we continue to work on a great Tom Bendelow design at the White Lake Country Club on right on the shores of Lake Michigan, north of Muskegon. And obviously, you saw we're working on a great old Larry Packer design in Champaign, Illinois. The Lincoln Sheriff Fields Country Club. And Rory, you know, let's call a spade in golf course architecture. Some people just don't like a course if it's a part of a golf residential development. But I'll tell you what, Larry Packer did such a beautiful job with the routing and the whole features and that. It's incredible. So I am literally just polishing off a jewel. I'm adding some bunkers here and there, taking out some, giving some a more relevant position, and we're adjusting some fairway lines with that. And then let's see. Oh, we have our work that we're doing at the Big Sky Resort in Montana and the Sugarloaf Resort in Maine. So we have short game areas, and we keep slowly pecking away at some, you know, remodeling on the 18-hole course. So absolutely, 2024 will be a phenomenal year.